Blog Talk Radio.
Thank Yahweh for another day and another opportunity. Opportunity to come to my people and give a message. Not my message, but his message. This evening, I'm going to try, and I'm using this word very gingerly, I'm going to try to get out the way and allow his word to come through me. I'm a little nervous this evening because what I'm undertaking this evening and prayfully henceforth is to really give a better understanding of what it is that Yahweh wants us to do. You know, when it comes to our eating habits and the other subjects that I'll be touching on. But before I go any further, let's have a prayer to open this up, and we'll get started with a few things. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you, Yahweh, for another opportunity for this family to come together, Heavenly Father, and those who are partaking in this event with us, dear God. We ask that your blessings be upon us, Heavenly Father. In Yahushua's holy name we pray. Amen. Okay. I was supposed to start this class last week, but for some reason or another, I had infection in my eye and in my nose, and just wasn't feeling good. But thank Yahweh, I'm feeling much better now. Everything is clearing up the way that should, and I'm getting back to top speed. Now, the subject for this week and for next week is really going to be about the king's food, you know. And before I get started, let me just say this. You know, this class that I give is basically what I'm trying to do. What I would like to do is open up our eyes to another way of viewing what we eat and how we eat. Okay? In no way am I trying to put my ideas upon anyone. You know, what I do is what I do. You know, it's been through Yahweh that I have experienced the things that I've experienced. You know, each step along my route, you know, like I've been guided there for a reason. But I want to take a look at some of the foods that we eat, why we eat them, but more so, you know, are they what Yahweh want us to eat? Now, before I really get to the meat of things, let me just say, you know, we know that in Yahweh's word in Leviticus, I believe it is, he tells us, you know, what we can eat and what we can't eat, okay? But if we look beyond all of that and we take a look today, look around us, and we look at our state of mind, we look at our health, are these things coming upon us because we are sinning? Are these things coming upon us because of choices that we're making and what we choose to put in our bodies? You know, and I think, you know, this is something that's each individual is going to have to come to terms with for themselves. Okay? For me, I tend to believe that a lot of things that calamities that I had, the high blood pressure, the sugar, these things are coming upon me because of things I'm eating, how I'm treating my body. You know, we know that Heavenly Father, when he made this earth, he put everything that he thought that, oh, no, he didn't think, that he knew was going to be helpful to man for his health and for his nourishment. You know, let's not get those two things confused, you know, because you have your nourishment, but then you have your health. You get your health through your nourishment. You don't get your nourishment through your health. You get your health through your nourishment. What you put in your body is going to determine your health. And Yahweh, the maker of all things, and let me just say this, all things good. All things good. The maker of all things good placed animals. He placed herbs. He put plants. He put trees that bear fruit with seed, might I say, for the nourishment of our bodies. Okay? In the next week, I'm not going to get into it too much tonight. I'm not going to get into it all tonight. But next week, we'll take a look at, you know, some of the foods that were eating, that was eaten during that period of time. Okay? But just to get started here. Oh, before I get started, let me just say this. We've got a 40 days are coming upon us. And just to speak a little bit tonight about Sukkot, I think everyone should be aware that by now that there will be no electricity out of that campsite. Excuse me for getting away from the subject for a minute. I'm just going to do this for a minute. We won't have any electricity at the campsites that we're going to. And because of that, everyone should be aware of the mere fact that it's going to be cold out there. Don't take for granted that it's not, because we have warm days. We all know that the nights are cold, and it's going to be colder out there because we are at a high elevation. Now, can't prepare yourself for this Sukkot the way you have been. You know, we're going to have to take a different look, a different approach to it. And so what I'm going to do, I'm not going to speak anymore on that tonight, but next week at the end of the class, I have some suggestions on primarily on how to keep warm. You know, because it's not advisable to have any candles, anything of that nature, any gas in our tents. But there are ways that we can keep warm. Okay, so I'm going to leave that here. And I'm going to get into this lesson that Yahweh has prepared for us. Okay? Now, okay, let's take a look at Genesis 1:12. Okay? You know, when Yahweh was forming this earth, you know, he put everything in place for this earth to be a viable, a reliable source for man. You know, he didn't wait until after he had developed man and then come to the conclusion that man was going to need this, that, and the third. He had a well-developed plan ahead of time. It was miraculously thought out. Okay, and in Genesis 1:12 we find and the earth brought forth grass, an herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God, Yahweh, saw that it was good. Okay? Now, he put those things there because he knew that he was going to have a man at some point in time that was going to need those things. He knew that at some point in time, it would be nourishment for someone, okay? Let's take a look at Genesis 2:12. And Genesis 2:12, it reads, "And the gold of that land is good. There is bdellium and the onyx stone." Now, the reason why I went to that passage is this. You know, like when he developed the earth, you know, like he put all forms of things. But I went to that particular verse, you know, because, you know, I wanted us to see, you know, the goodness. We know that gold is precious. We know that gold is precious. But I wanted us to take a look at that gold, look at the fact that he put the gold here. Okay? And if he put the gold here, you know, and we know the gold is being precious, you know, this grass and the herbs, yielding seed and the fruit trees, you know, we have to know that these items were special to him also. We have to know they were special to him also. You know, the gold and onyx and all, you know, they were good for trading. They were good for making jewelry and, you know, this, that, and the third. But those grasses, those herbs, those fruit trees, they were special. They were special. You know, it's no reason. Well, yeah, there's a reason. You know, he put those things there because he wanted his people to have the best. You know, this came from Yahweh. Yahweh, you know, this was Yahweh's gift to us for nourishment and for him. Okay, let's look a little bit further down at Genesis 2:8 and Genesis 2:9. And Yahweh planted a garden, Eastwood, in Eden. And there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Yahweh God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Now, when he made man, he didn't just pull us out of the air. You know, he made us from the same place that he made us from is the same place that these herbs and these trees and all these other good things, nutritional things, are growing from. We're from that very same earth. And when he made us, he saw us as being good. Okay? It's no coincidence that that these things were done. You know, the only coincidences are the ones that we make. The ones that we make. Yahweh knew. He knew when he said about forming the earth in those 6 days, he knew what his plan was. He knew what his plan was. You know, if we could take a look at Adam and Eve in the garden. You know, he created them. Well, he created Eve out of Adam's rib. And she was to be his helpmeet, someone to help him in the garden. As you know, when he made Adam, he knew that he was going to have someone turn into God. You know, not only did Adam turn to God, but he named everything that was in the garden, everything that grew, everything that was living. Adam named. You know, we can take a look, you know, at Adam and Eve and the garden, and we can see firsthand, you know, what their diet consisted of. You know, it wasn't until, it isn't until we get into Exodus that they really start talking about meat and eating. But from the looks of Adam and Eve being in the garden, they were vegetarians. They were vegetarians. You know, it's no coincidence, you know, when they were in the garden, you know, there was no illness. There were no sicknesses. There were no diseases. Wasn't until the fruit was eaten and they were kicked out of the garden and sent on their way to live in this world that calamities start becoming of man. Now, and I'm not blaming Adam and Eve for this, but when they ate that fruit, you know, they began, at that point, they had choices. And same thing today. We have choices. We have choices. You know, especially I am talking about, you know, nutrition, food and nutrition. We have choices when it comes to food and nutrition. You know, when Yahweh made that garden, you know, he knew that he didn't have to worry about the health of those people. He had that covered. There wasn't going to be a health issue. They had the best of everything. You know, because he planned it. Adam and Eve, they worked the fields to nourish it, but Yahweh planted it, gave them the tools to work it. But upon them being removed from the garden and coming into the world, things changed for them. You know, they began to see a whole different reality. Whole different reality. You know, they wanted knowledge, so they got knowledge. They wanted to experience the sin of the world, And that's what they got, you know, for being disobedient. Now, Yahweh, for his love of his people, you know, if we take a look at Exodus 15, it's 15:26, you know, he tells us a little bit about these diseases and all that he had put upon Egypt. Let's take a read to that. Okay, Exodus 15:26. He said, "If you diligently listen to the voice of Yahweh, your mighty one, and do what is right in his sight, and give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will not afflict you with any of the diseases with which I have afflicted the Egyptians. For I am Yahweh who heals you." Okay? "For I am Yahweh who heals you. If you diligently listen to the voice of Yahweh and do what is right in his sight and give ear to his commandments and all his statutes, you won't be afflicted with the diseases that the Egyptians were afflicted with." And we know about the plagues and the diseases that was put upon the Egyptians, all because Pharaoh wouldn't let his people go. All because Pharaoh wouldn't let his people go. You know, Yahweh loved his people so much till he was willing to kill one group of people. Well, I'm not going to use the word kill. Sacrifice. One group of people so that his people could be free. Free from all the hardships that they had to endure in slavery. Now, during the period of time that his people were enslaved, whose food were they eating? You know, we look a little bit further ahead in Exodus, you know, where after Yahweh had rescued them and the sea had parted and they were on their way to the promised land, the people began to moan and groan about not having the king's food. You know, was it all because they were hungry? Do you think it was because they were hungry? Or do you think they missed the taste of certain things in their mouths? Now, you got to remember, you know, when they came out of Egypt, they didn't just come out of Egypt with nothing. They didn't come out of Egypt with nothing. They had moisture with them. But even though they were enslaved, you know, quite a few of them was eating good of the king's food. You know, these are people that had lived a harsh life. In slavery, mind you. And here they are. They've been freed. Yahweh has freed them from all that misery, all that pain. And the only thing they could think of was the king's food. Complained about not having the king's food. He brought us all the way out here so we could starve. You know? But Yahweh took a look at that and saw how the people were complaining, and how they were, what's the word I'm trying to find here? They weren't grateful. They weren't grateful, you know. And more than anything else, they didn't have faith. They didn't have faith that Yahweh was going to provide for them. Even though he's the same person that showed them just how great and mighty a God, a mighty one, he was. All these, you know, calamities that he brought upon the Egyptians, you know, the people, obviously, you know, they saw him, but they weren't, they must have taken all that for granted. Because they didn't think that this same mighty one would, could prevent them from starving. But here again, I say, were they afraid? Excuse me. Was it that they thought they were going to starve, or was it because they missed the king's food? That's the question. Did they miss the king's food? You know, Yahweh is good to us. He provides a way for us through all things, you know, be it whatever we might be going through. You know, he gave us his son as a ultimate sacrifice. And through prayer, going through his son. But it's not just in the prayer, it's in having faith that he hears and supplements our prayers. But we got to have faith in it. We got to have that same faith that he has given us food and nourishment and healing for our bodies. We got to have faith in those things. We got to have faith that he has provided those things. Okay? You know, there's a passage in Exodus 15, well, I just read it, 15:26. You know, when he say he declared that he would not place any of these diseases on us. You know, we got to have faith in that. You know, so if he isn't placing, if we're following his statutes and his commandments, if we're doing the things that he's asking us to do, and we are eating what we assume is nutritious food, but our health is still failing us. Why is our health failing us? Is it because of something that Yahweh is doing to the food? I don't know. These are questions that we individually will have to answer. Okay? You know, his intention isn't, you know, isn't to oppress us, you know. That's not his intention. You know, his intention is for us to is for us to have healthy lives. That's his intention for us. You know, but because of our doings at times, we fail to take a look at Yahweh and what he has placed here for us. You know, he's definitely interested in our health. He's definitely interested in our health. You know, take a look at we can. There's one place in the Bible, particular that I go to every now and then, that it has a real strong meaning to me. You know, yeah, what I'm speaking of really is Daniel 1:8. You know, when I see Daniel, you know, I see him as a prophet, but I see him as someone that's faithful. Okay, let me just read Daniel 1:8. Daniel proposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now, Daniel didn't want to have, he didn't want to eat anything that came out of the king's house. Anything that came out of that castle, that palace, he didn't want to have anything to do with it. You know, there's nothing in the dietary law that said that he couldn't eat meat. So we know that, you know, there was certain meat that he could eat. You know, there was nothing in the dietary law that said that he couldn't have wine. But he wasn't going to defile himself because he knew that the king didn't have clean soap because of the things that the king had done. You know, we remember, you know, the king had conquered them once again and gone into the temple, and he stripped everything out of the temple, took pillaged the temple, took everything with him, along with the brightest and the most educated of the Hebrews, took them with him. In some ways, I guess you could say he wanted to fatten them up and gain all the knowledge that he could from them. But Daniel said, no. I'm not going to defile myself, you know, with this food that's coming from you. And he refused to eat it. But he had enough faith. He had enough faith. If he didn't eat the king's food, that he would be provided for by Yahweh. He had enough faith to know this. Now, because he didn't take the food, and because he was praying to a god other than the god of the kings, he was, because he wasn't praying to the king's God, he wasn't eating the king's food. It was brought to the king's attention, and certain individuals really wanted to have him, you know, have him killed because he was wrong. But even knowing this, he still refused to eat the king's food. Still refused to eat the king's food. And I don't really want to get off Daniel too much, but we know about the pain that that the king inflicted upon them, and him, Meshach, Abednego, that other person's Meshach, Abednego. There was another person, I can't recall the name, but nothing that he did it break their spirit or their faith to Yahweh, because they knew no matter what, Yahweh had their back. You know, in all things, in all things. You know, they didn't starve. Not one day. They were healthier than those that were eating from the king's house. I wonder why. I wonder why. You know, sometimes in this culture that we live in, you know, some of the foods that we do eat, I guess, you know, if we really look at it, we can consider them really as being evil foods. You know, if we really thought about it for a minute, because, you know, there's a lot of things that we eat that we know is bringing some type of harm to the body. Is it the king's food or is it Yahweh's food? You know, there's these are questions, as I stated before, that, you know, each of us personally would have to ask them. I know I have a habit of eating the king's food. You know, some of my choices. You know, I love my chocolate chip cookies. I love my blueberry muffins, and the things that is not so much the chocolate chip cookie, but it's the things that are in the chocolate chip cookie. It's not so much the muffin, but it's the things that are in the muffin. You know. Now, if I were to take some of those things out of the muffin, it would be a better muffin. But it wouldn't have that king's taste. Wouldn't have that king's taste. You know, it's funny, but the king knows how to, the king knows how to get your attention. He knows how to strike a chord with your taste buds. And for me, it hasn't always been good. It hasn't always been good. Even though these foods taste good, hasn't always been good. So I am. I'm in the same place as a lot of other folks that I see. You know, got heart, got high blood pressure, you got diabetes, you know, we've got inflammation, we got these different viruses, you know, and all these things, you know, truly. And I think we know these things. You know, all of these things can be reversed. Can be wiped out by, I'm going to say this, not eating the king's food. Not eating the king's food. You know, it was hard for the Egyptians. It was hard for the Egyptians. I mean, I'm sorry. It was hard for the Hebrews after they came out of slavery, you know, to get that that taste for the king's food out of their mouths. But what Yahweh did, you know, even though he was angry with them for being what's the word I'm trying to find here, for being choosy, that's not the word I want, but they weren't satisfied. So he gave them manna. And they were able to eat this manna as much as they wanted. But they weren't to leave any for the next day. Yahweh provides a way for us. You know, they didn't, you know, upon eating that manna, you know, it must have come because nowhere else in the world did it say that they were seeking any more of the king's food. So whatever it was that Yahweh gave them in that manner was something that was filling to them, something that took that taste for the king's food, you know, out of their mouths. And, you know, during that whole journey, walking through the promised land in those 40 years, I'm pretty sure that in their walks, a lot of these grasses, a lot of these herbs, these trees that Yahweh planted, they put on this earth, they came across. Next week we're gonna talk about, you know, some of these plants, you know, that's mentioned in the word. You know, we're gonna talk about some of these fruits that were mentioned in the word. You know, we're gonna talk about how it, you know, just incorporate some of those things in our daily lives. You know, how it can help us to have a more healthier existence. You know, sometimes we find ourselves, you know, I know early on for me, I can, when it comes to my health, I can be a chronic worrier. And more so in the past than now. But I used to worry. My mother died when I was 11. And I never really thought that I would live to be 32. That's the age my mother died at. She was hit by a car. And I never thought that I would live to be 32. And when I got to be 32, I just said to myself, oh, my God, this is a miracle. I really thought it was a miracle. I really did. You know, but, Yahweh let me see 32. And it was about, that was before I got 32. You know, I actually stopped eating pork. I actually stopped eating pork when I was about 19. Stopped eating pork when I was about 19. I had a cousin that went to jail, came out of jail, and he had a little Muslim in him. And I think at that time, must have been, Muslim wouldn't eat pork. Because, you know, he set us down, talked to us, and we stopped eating pork. I stopped eating beef. Oh, my God, a long time ago. I don't even know how long ago that was. But, you know, each step that I took, especially with the beef, you know, I did it because at the time, it just didn't, it was going in, but I knew all of it wasn't coming out. You know, I knew it all wasn't coming out. You know, so I started eating a lot more vegetables. I've never been a vegetarian, you know, but I started eating a lot more vegetables. You know, it was when I was 32. That I actually start looking into herbs. Actually start looking into herbs. And I found a family, and that's their profession. That's all they do. They have an herb shop over here in Glen Burnie. And I talked to them about the various herbs, you know, how they help heal the body. So I started using herbs. And Yahweh has a plan for each and every one of us. But in his plan, you know, he doesn't plan for us to be ill. You know, we talk each and every Sabbath about being soldiers. We can't soldier if we're sick. Yahweh doesn't want sick soldiers on the field. You know, if you're sick, you got to get your body right before you go to war. We all know that usually when the body is weak, so is the mind. The weaker the body, the weaker the mind. You got a lot going on in the body. A lot of times, you got a lot going on in the mind. And that's when the enemy comes in it. But Yahweh has provided us with a food resource that's better than anything and more healthier than anything that man has come along with. When he planted, going back again to the garden, when he planted the garden was planted for the health of man. It's nutrition. It's the nutrition that's in the garden affects our health. It affects our health. You know, these are good foods. These are foods that's going to give the body the nutrition that's going to allow us, you know, to fight the fights that fight the battles that you know, that come our way. And they come our way daily. You know, Yahweh has given us different ways to purge our bodies. You know, if we want to get rid of, you know, sin, you know, we pray to Yahushua. You know, but if you want to get those poison and those toxins out of the body, you know, he's given us, you know, fasts, you know, to cleanse the body. When we are detoxing the body, we're also detoxing the mind. We're purging these things out. You know, I am sitting one evening during the week and just doing some reading and some research. You know, I got to thinking about song that we used to sing in church on Sundays, and it goes like, and I'm sure you all heard it too. We are soldiers marching in the army. We gotta fight, although we gotta die. We have to put on the bloodstained banner. No, that came to my mind. You know, we're warriors. We want to be healthy warriors. Yahweh has given us, as I stated before, means to do that. You know, are we eating the king's food? You know, I think that I am. You know, when I go to the store and I buy these processed things, you know, like I don't think about what the king has done to these things. I don't think about looking at the labels to see what's in it. I don't think about that. And even if I did, half of it, I wouldn't know what it was, no way, you know, unless I Googled it on my phone or something. But even with that said, you know, if I was to just eat more vegetables, if I was to eat more whole grains, you know, and stop buying some of the king's food to supplement my diet, I could be a lot more healthier. A lot more healthy. You know, the king. Once again, you know, he has us crying out for his foods. You know, if we were to go to Sukkot, I'm not saying do this. I'm not suggesting that the congregation do this, but just, you know, hypothetically saying, if there's such a thing, if we were to, you know, go out in Sukkot and say we're not going to have anything that's processed out here. Be it potato chips, cookies, sodas, or whatever. You know, we would be in a position, you know, we'd be in the same position as our Hebrew brothers and sisters were when they were brought out of captivity. Why? because we're so used to, our bodies are accustomed to having certain things. You know, he has, the king has placed an addiction upon us that we don't fully deal with until we have to do without. And then it comes full face and we can see it. But if we had to do without those things, then we can see it. You know, fast for a few days. Clean your body out. You can see it. Your body be wanting these things. Your body be telling your mind, man, go and have that cookie. I've been there and I've done that. For real. You know, those first few days are terrible. You want everything. But if you're faithful, that's not to say that you don't have that cookie, you know, because I've done that. I've had that cookie, but I went right back to doing what I was doing that fast. You know, after a few days, all that subsides. You don't think about it no more. The only thing you think about is the journey of cleansing. But the king is clever. You know, we can't expect for the king to monitor and to direct our diets. You know, as we've noticed, you know, in the past year or two, you know, various things, and the things I'm speaking on, one is this with oxycodone, oxycontin, or whatever it is, how they allowed that to be flooded in the market. You know, it was okay as long as these companies was making millions and millions and billions of dollars off of these things, you know. But then what happened was, you know, all their little children began to get sick and addicted to these things. So all of a sudden, now there's something wrong with them. But they could have stopped that before it started. But the king wouldn't do that. He wouldn't do it. Now, the last few days, they've been talking about, e-cigarette, where they were supposed to be smokeless cigarettes. You know, people have been vamping, whatever they call it. Sure, you all understand what I'm talking. You know, people have been smoking these things. So now, you know, we knew it was just a matter of time. We knew it was just a matter of time. They'd made millions, billions of dollars off of these things. Now people dying. But did the king take, you know, before these things, before people started getting ill from it, you know, the king didn't care, but now that people dying, the king has began to take notice. So he's going to do something about it. But all the while, you know, you got people that are billionaires from these things. You got the family that owned one of these drug manufacturing companies that sold these daggone oxycodone pills. to settle the judgment against them, they're willing to give up the company and pay $2 billion. Think about that. They're willing to give up the company and pay $2 billion. So you can't imagine how much money they have. You know, but this is the king. This is how the king has been running his kingdom and how he has been allowing his people to be subjected to all of these things that a man can think of and bring to the market and make a dollar. So, you know, there's no reason for us not to think that we go to the grocery store. So, you know, we had a class on all this before. When we go to the grocery store, and purchase our food for our health. So that's the thing. We should be eating for health. you know, but we don't. We eat for enjoyment. Because if it don't taste good, we don't want it. You know, I'm guilty of that. You know, I don't like water unless it got something in it. I'm getting myself away from that. I began to drink a lot more water now. But for real, didn't have a taste to it. I didn't like it. You know, but that's what the king wants from us. You know, he doesn't want us, you know, to go to the vegetable aisle. He wants us to go around the corner to the boxes and the cans, cellophane wrappers. And we tend to eat a lot more from those type of containers than we do of products that come from the ground. Yahweh's food comes from the ground. I'm not even gonna talk about the pesticides and this, that, and the third. You know, but Yahweh's food comes from the ground. You know, Yahweh's food is not manufactured. So he's given us, you know, yes, he's given us choices, you know. And as I stated, you know, this is just food for thought. You know, this, you know, I'm not trying to change anybody's diet. I'm not trying to change anybody's mind about what they eat or how they eat. This is just food for thought. All that it is. You know, if you're not satisfied with how you feel, if you feel like myself, you know, I just use myself as an example here, family. You know, 68 years old, and God knows I've seen better days, but seems like every week or so there's a different ache and a different pain. I don't have the energy level I had 4 or 5 years ago. It just seems like there's so much going on health wise. But, you know, like when I really look at it, you know, like a lot of it is because of what I'm eating, the king's food. So, yes, you know, I've got to get back to eating from the mighty one, God, for real. You know, and when I say this, you know, I'm not just saying because I am. You know, because sometimes you don't know until you try things. But I do know I have seen better days, you know, as far as my health. You know, I've seen better days because I was treating my health a little different. So I've got to try and get back there. Eating from Yahweh's God. You know, he hasn't said that, you know, if you eat from my garden that you'll live to be as old as Methuselah. You know, he's not telling us that. But what he is telling us that if you eat from my garden, that you'll find foods here that will keep diseases out of your body. You'll find foods here that won't cause diseases. Mm-hmm. King is killing us. The king is killing us. It's nothing to laugh at, but it's real. The king is killing us. And we're party to it. So we work all day long, we get home in the evening, late hours, you know, days getting ready to become short again, you know, doesn't seem like there's much time in the evening to do this and do the third, you know, so we just grab something, quote unquote, fast. And it's killing us. It's causing us to have these different diseases. You know, these different cancers in our bodies. You know, I was listened to a brother the other night talking about health issues, and he was saying how over in Caribbean countries, how these manufacturers are going over there now, telling the people that they shouldn't be eating fruits and vegetables that are grown there. You know, like there's certain like papaya trees, mango trees. You know, these trees, you know, they naturally grow in these environments, but they're telling them that they're bad for them and they shouldn't eat them. In the same breath, they're telling them that they shouldn't be eating from these trees. They're importing their own canned vegetables and fruits into the countries. Terrible, man. They're terrible. But yeah, we need. Well, it's only through we know that healing only comes through Yahweh. We know that. We know that healing only comes through Yahweh, and if we don't allow certain foods into our bodies, we don't have to worry about some of these calamities. You know, all the fried foods. We don't eat the pork, so you know that's not a real big issue with us. You know, the salt that we get, you know, the sugars that we get, you know, the diabetes and these heart conditions that we have. We can arrest these things. We can turn these things around, you know, by getting out of the King's Garden. You know, Yahweh, when he created man, he created man in his image. In his image, he created man. What he wanted for us in the beginning wasn't what we wanted. And I say we because Adam and Eve decided they were going to eat the fruit. You know, they had to come out here in the world to learn just what it was like to be disobedient. But because they were kicked out of the garden, was no reason for them or for us to discontinue eating what the master has grown. You know, these foods are vital to our health. They're vital to our nutrition. Once you know, we've got to, you know, get back to that old way of looking at food. You know, we're looking at food now more of it as a pleasure. Food is a pleasure for us. You know, I've heard it said to me more than once that I enjoy eating. That food makes me feel good. Or should I say eating makes me feel good. But when we eat, we should be eating for nourishment. Not just because it tastes good. You know, there's old saying, you know, everything that looks good, well, everything that tastes good ain't good for you. You know, Yahweh is calling us, you know, each and every Sabbath that Yahweh gives us. You know, we come to Sabbath, you know, to hear his word. You know, he's actually pleading with us then, you know, to get ourselves together. You know, to stop doing some of the things that we're doing. See, when the Morays are teaching on Sabbath, they're teaching in a spiritual realm. And that's how we receive it. But if we open up our eyes a little bit wider, they're also teaching us on a more natural realm also. And when I use that word natural, I'm talking about our bodies. You know, every Sabbath, they tell us about these demons that we're fighting. You know, we're asked to pray for one another. It's no reason why. Well, it's not it is a reason why. We ask to pray for one another, but in the praying for one another, you know, we've got to understand that our health in the physical realm has got to be good. You know, we've got to pray for our health, not just for our health, but for, you know, what we're doing for our health. You know, just like prayer without action is no good. Well, if you're sick, if you have a calamity, whether it's high blood pressure, whether it's diabetes, or you got what's that F word? Stuff goes on in your joints. Well, you got all that going on, and you're not, you know, looking to Yahweh, you know, for the healing. Then, you know, you're going to have these things. But we got to look to Yahweh, and when we look to Yahweh, we got to look at what He has given us. He gave it's all in the garden. It's all in the garden. Did you plant a crop this year? If you plant a crop this year, go out in your garden. Killing is in your garden. You know, I wouldn't advise people to do it, but as you walk along these pathways, as you walk along the streets, you know, you see healing in these fields. That's where the healing is. Yahweh made everything on this earth. He made man, He made elephants, He made horses, He made everything. Horses don't eat no meat. Elephants don't eat no meat. What is it? It's them greens that they eat. It's them greens. They are still eating from the garden. Look at what happens to animals when man takes them out of the garden. Chickens. What did he do to the chicken? Okay, chicken used to run around. You know, all that grandparents had them. You know, used to run around the yard, scratch. You know, if it was something, if the scratch left over from the table, they throw them out in the yard, chickens eat them. You know, whatever chickens want, you know, they scratch the earth, try to find worms, and this, that, and the third. Okay? But man has taken these very same animals, the chicken, and put him in a cage, put him in a house with 3,000 of his friends. They're in coops in these big houses. They can't move. They're standing in their own feces, so they got to give them drugs. They got to give them growth hormones so that they grow. Instead of growing in, I think they said take a chicken 6 weeks to in maturity in the natural to grow, but they give them these growth pills, hormones, so that they can grow in 30, 60 days. Come on now. Something ain't good about that. Something's not good about that. Now, what happens to these chemicals once they give it to the chicken? They give it to the chicken, and then what? What happens? We go to the store, we buy the chicken, and we eat it. So when you eat it, what do you think has happened to these chemicals? Do you think the chemicals left once they killed the chicken? Chemicals are still there. You know, we can look at if we can look at some of our youth and see the byproduct of some of these chemicals. You know, I know when I was coming up, I didn't see no rusty little girls running around 10, 11 years old. But, you know, all of this is a byproduct of the king's food. And once again, this is just food for thought. Food for thought. King doesn't, you know, the king doesn't treat his people well. You know, the king is looking to fatten his pocket by any means necessary. And there's no safeguards for me and you. The only safeguard we have is the one that's written in the Word. You know, this is where our safeguard is. When we read the Word and we follow the Word, we know that Yahweh's Word does not change from one generation to the next generation. Yahweh's Word stays the same. So, but why is it that if Yahweh's Word stays the same, why is it that our diets have changed so much? That's not to say that, you know, everything that we eat was bad. But why has that diet changed so drastically? Why have we gotten so far away from what is good for us? Food for thought. You know, it's getting close to that time where, you know, we all, you know, when you're young, you know, when I was young, I ain't think about a whole lot of this kind of stuff. You know, I didn't think I was going to get fat. You know, I think, let me see, up until 48, 49, 50. I didn't start gaining weight really until I was in my 50s. I used to hold steady at about 189. About 189. And for real, that was big for me. But, you know, as you get older, you know, everything about you changes. Everything about us changes. And the more we compound, the more we put, more king's food that we put in us, you know, the weaker and sicker we become. You know, you think there's a reason, you know, short of preserving food, sort of making food taste good, you know, that they're doing all these little tricks with food. You know, I was watching, it was on television I saw one night where they had, who was this? How was this now? They had a McDonald's hamburger on one side, and on the other side, they had a regular ground beef hamburger. And then they had some store-bought bread. And on one side, on the left side. And on the right side, they had bread that was, I guess you'd say, homemade, without any preservatives or anything. Now, I don't have to tell you all how that turned out, because you all know. The McDonald's hamburger, and all, it was after 60 days, still hadn't gotten any mold or anything on it. Same thing with that bread that was bought from the store. You know, it's something that's just not natural about that. You know, but the bread that was made from someone's home, you know, after a few days, this started having mold. You know, You know, but why is it, why was it not that this McDonald's hamburger did not, you know, have any mold on it? You know, they keep the hamburger. I wonder, do they keep the hamburgers in the store long? You have to see in that. You know, but are we eating the king's food? Or are we eating what the mighty one placed in the garden? And those are the questions that we've got to ask ourselves. You know, I am. Next week, I'm going to take a look at, you know, some of the animals. Why, you know, why he doesn't want us to eat them. You know, I'm going to take a look at some of the herbs, some of the different vegetables that were found, that's found in the Word, you know, and how nutritious they were for them. And they came before us, too. You know, if we just incorporate, you know, these things in our diet, because, you know, they're readily available. You know, who was it, John? What did John eat? John the Baptist. What, honey and crickets? Come on, man. You know, you find that a lot in the Word. You know, that a lot of honey, you know, they ate wheat. Bread, you know, along with vegetables. You know, a lot of these different herbs that we're coming to find these days that are good, you know, that are healing, you know, and they're coming right out of the Bible. They're coming out of Yahweh's word. Turmeric, ain't nothing new. Honey, that ain't nothing new. Come on now. You know, even frankincense. You know, when we look at, frankincense is more than just a scent. We'll take a look at that next week. It's more than just a scent. You can use that frankincense, can be used as an herb. Yeah. You know, and Yahweh put all these things here for the healing of our bodies. But when we got sick, you know, one thing for certain, two things for sure, when we get a cold, we know what to turn to. We turn to Yahweh. You know, a lot of us eat that chicken noodle soup, you know, but then there's some of us that will take some honey and some lemon. Where did that come from? Then you have others. You know, they'll take some honey lemon, they'll take some echinacea, they'll take some golden seal. Come on now, where'd that come from? Didn't come from man. We know man don't do no healing. It's come from Yahweh. You know, we got to put faith in Yahweh that he will We pray all the time and we ask for his healing of the spirit. But we also got to pray and ask Yahweh that he will, you know, fix these old bodies of ours. And in doing so, you know, not just pray to him, but look to him in all ways for his healing powers. His healing powers come from his God. Of his God. But as I say, next week, you know, I'm going to, you know, I'm going to come forth with, you know, with his herbs, with his different fruits and all, and some different ways that we could possibly incorporate some of these things into our diets and get whole and get healthy. As I said before, it's just food for thought. Just food for thought. You know, think about it. You know, if you think that, prayerfully, you will, you know, give us a thought and take what you know you need and use it. But we serve a mighty God. We serve a God that was, and has been more thoughtful of us than we of him. You know, he has his powers are mighty. His powers are mighty. And what he can do for us individually and as a whole. Is way beyond what we could imagine. So we've got to be, you know, we got to be faithful. We've got to be more obedient. So when we think about being obedient to Yahweh, you know, we just think about the things that we see every week, the things that we hear every week. But we also got to look at that as from a health standpoint of view also. You know, when we hear that word, you know, think about how it's affecting your health. You know, or think about how it can help your health. That word is spiritual, but it's more than spiritual. No? But I'm going to close out right here. You know, and I don't know who is out there, but I thank each and every one of you for giving me the time this evening to give you Yahweh's word. And I do pray his, you know, help upon, you know, each and every household in Beth Yahweh. You know, it's you know, we struggle. We struggle. You know, each and every day, you know, in this world that we live in, with one thing or another, it's a struggle. But let us choose to not have our health be a burden to us when we can make choices to do things different. Let us, you know, let us make the choice to eat from Mighty One's house, to eat from his yard, to eat from his garden, to eat what we know will bring healing. Okay, family, I'm going to end my close right here. And next week, I'll pick up and try to close this out, but I also, as I stated earlier, I'm going to have a few things, a few suggestions on some of the things that we could possibly use to stay warm while we're out there or Shabbat, and make it a pleasant experience. This is going to be different. You know, it's funny how Yahweh works, but I don't think anybody would expect, if I already say, last Sabbath, that all of the sites with electric was gone. But when he said it, first thing came to my mind was, wow, this must be Yahweh. You know, but, you know, there's a lot that we can gather just from that, you know, because we are in, you know, we're about to do something that we haven't done before, you know. You know, and each and every time something like this happens, you know, it should bring us closer together. It should, you know, it's a time for us to actually, you know, bring our minds together, you know, so that we can, we know what's ahead. See, one thing, he's giving us the heads up on this. You know, it wasn't like we had to wait till the 13th and then go out there and find out, oh, boy, we ain't got no election. But we know ahead of time. So knowing these things ahead of time, it's time, you know, he's giving us time, you know, to plan ahead of time. So it's not like, you know, like I said, a hurricane came along and all of a sudden, you know, you ain't got no breakfast and nothing. You know, you got time to plan ahead. So, you know, I've got a few things, like I said, I'm going to bring forth next week. And gratefully, you know, any of the other brothers, the Borays, there's any suggestions that they may have, they can bring to the, you know, congregation or Sabbath, or, you know, we can talk about it, you know, but let us all be of one accord. You know, let us not, you know, go out to Sukkot and I'll be warm one night and my neighbor be cold. That's not what Yahweh want in us doing that. He wants us all to be on one accord. You know, it's one thing, you know, if somebody isn't listening, it's one thing if somebody doesn't hear. But it's another thing if you know and you're not giving freely of what it is that Yahweh had given you. But not like I said before, I see this as a test that, you know, Yahweh has given us. And like I say, you know, it's going to be heat, but there's a couple other things that we're going to take a look at and I'll bring to your attention. You know, it may not be, you know, maybe something you already thought about, but still, I'm going to put it out there. You know, maybe that one soul, you know, haven't thought about it, you know, and it'll be something enlightening for them, something that will help them through it. But, I'm going to say goodnight. I really, truly thank each and every individual that's within the hearing of this lesson. And, you know, early on, I forgot to ask if, you know, how clear my voice was and coming through in this connection. I pray that, you know, I was heard and that it was clear and understandable. Okay. But we know how these devices can be at times. But let's pray in Yahweh's name. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity to come to your people. Dear God, I pray, Heavenly Father, that you will keep each and every individual in the hearing of this word, Heavenly Father, and those that are not tuned in, Heavenly Father. We ask, Heavenly Father, that they are blessed, Heavenly Father. I pray, Heavenly Father, and just ask that you keep each and every one of us, Heavenly Father. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you're going to each and every household, Heavenly Father, and affect that individual the way that you see and so think that they should be affected, Heavenly Father, with your word, Heavenly Father. In Yahushua's holy name, I pray. Amen. And Yahweh, until Friday evening teachings, shalom.